sometimes conversations are good because both parties are able to express their views and a common ground is arrived at. So what is happening with cultural practices is that they are not being questioned. Women may not like what is being done to them, but they don't question those practices enough for change to be ushered in, because culture was made by man and culture can be changed by man. So that was my path to learning about breast ironing, using my voice to save myself, and growing up as a woman, I became a journalist, worked in traditional media, but didn't have the space to do what I always wanted to do. And so when I went online, I went searching for means to get my voice heard online. That's how I got to Walpole's, and through Walpole's, my voice has been amplified, and my ideas have been able to reach a wider audience, and I'm able to institutionalize these ideas into an organization that goes out now and meet women. And just what I did as an individual young girl is now being done at a macro level, where many more women are able to gather and talk about cultural practices in a way that doesn't create war in communities, but creates peace through dialoguing, and victims are able to come out and cry, share their stories, heal, and become sensitizers, are able to go out and talk to other women about breast ironing. And now we are including other practices like widowhood rituals that before we weren't, but we are realizing that we can use the same platform to address many of those issues.
Can you explain a little bit about why this culture of breast ironing has been part of what grandmother are doing to young women who have, you know, starting to develop breasts? And also, if you can talk about where this practice is found in Cameroon, is it, you know, all across, or is it just in particular areas?
The reason behind breast ironing is that mothers do not want their daughters to mature early. If a 9-year-old girl is having breasts, for example, it's a sign of ripening, which is going to, in the eyes of these women, their daughters are going to attract sexual predators. Rape could happen, and unwanted sex could happen, which will lead to teenage pregnancy and school dropout. So the mothers think the best way to stop all of this from happening is that they just need to destroy the development of this breast. Sex is still a taboo topic in most homes in Cameroon. They first of all regard the 9-year-old as being too little to understand what sex is all about. Mm. And even if she was able to understand, mothers do not feel free to talk about sex to their daughters. So the only thing is to just stop the breast from developing, but it has actually caused more problems than has solved, because breast ironing comes with a lot of negative repercussions, many health repercussions like over-enlargement of breast tissue, cyst, malformation, disappearance of one or both breasts, destruction of milk ducts, scarification, cancer. It also causes lots of psychological effects on girls, because breast ironing is suggestive of the fact that the body of the girl is a problem. So when an average girl is developing breasts, she first of all needs encouragement to be able to accept that new part of her body that is growing up. She needs to be told that it is beautiful, she's becoming a woman. But if what the message she gets if her breasts are being ironed is that there is something wrong in having breasts, and that being sexually attractive is something negative, that weighs down on young girls and affects performance in school, and sometimes estranges girls from their mothers, because some of these girls do not want to leave home school and go back home. That is a big problem. And also, you ask where in Cameroon it is practiced. It is practiced mostly in the Christian and animist south of Cameroon. The Muslim areas are predominantly areas where early marriage is encouraged. They do not have a problem with the breast developing early. But the Christian and animist south of Cameroon is the majority of Cameroon. Those are 8 regions out of 10 regions are occupied by Christians and animists.
Mm-hmm.
Just 2 of the regions in Cameroon are Muslim regions.
And there's a lot of things. You started a campaign to stop breast ironing in Cameroon. Can you talk a little bit about what some of the strategies are that you are using, and mention the song also that we will be hearing?
Yes, so the campaign involves women moving from church group to church group and cultural groups to talk about breast ironing, because breast ironing has been a taboo topic in Cameroon. It's not long that the silence was broken by an NGO called Renata and the German Development Corporation. But that was very little, because it is still a topic that is unknown. If you are not a victim of breast ironing, you do not know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So Gender Danger came in 2012 with a different approach, like meeting women in their prime source of information and advice, which is the church and the cultural group, because the church leader, whatever she says to the women is what the women implement back at home. And in church, women are hardly ever secretive, because they believe it is a place for spiritual solace, a place where they open up and get solutions to their problems. That is why Gender Danger chose that approach, and it actually worked, because when you go to a church, you're not going to meet 10 women. You're going to meet 500 women, sometimes 1,000 women in a single church group.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pass out that message, then you reach the 1,000 women just in a single outing. And so when several of these women go back to their various communities, they take the message back home. And many of such women start coming up and telling us their stories. Victims start saying they feel so relieved to hear someone talking about this thing that has affected them for years, and they thought it was something unique to them. And we've actually had so many of such stories, and we've actually had those victims become sensitizers. So that's how the campaign has succeeded to gain grounds, reaching thousands and thousands of women, because we reach out to a vast majority of women in one outing, and we go to places which are kind of strategic, places where women are caught in their softest spots, which is the church or the cultural women's group.
And can you tell us a little bit about your partnership with a Cameroonian artist, musician, and the song that you created together?
Okay, so the song for breast ironing is done by a budding artist who is very creative. And we felt that using song is a means of making breast ironing known to the population, because song is a means of spreading, song and entertainment is a means of spreading information. So once a topic is, like, if you start singing now about breast ironing, of course everyone is going to like, oh, this happened to me, or what's this thing? And so it's going to spark up a conversation. So that's one of the campaign methods, which was a song, which we're actually looking forward to raise funds to publicize. Like, we want the song to be publicized. We want a video to be done, so that it can enter into the community, infiltrate the community.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is perfect, because earlier you mentioned how the media is, you know, affecting the way women dress so much. Well, if in reverse, we can have really strong positive messages, hopefully we'll have the same effect, except in a positive way.
Yes, and music is a language that people understand. There's a saying that fear ye the one music does not move.
Mm-hmm.
Music is a language that no matter how passive you want to be, touches the soul. And we want, like, I encourage this young artist a lot, because he's creative and his music carries a lot of meaning, which is quite opposite of what obtains in the Cameroonian society now, where the whole idea of music has just become like talking about sex and objectifying the body of the woman.
Hmm.
So if we find young Cameroonians who are capable of sitting down and thinking and writing songs that can actually spread positive messages, then we have every reason to encourage such people.
This goes out to all the young, beautiful black girls who've been victims of breast ironing and all other forms of oppression. Stay in a figure and teach the female child how to save her body. Not breast ironing. We can teach the girl child, let alone to use her mind, not destroy her body. Stop breast ironing. Yes, it's a place to teach them and to raise them in the light. To teach and educate them that your body is your pride. And breast ironing, great irony, killing to your kids. Breast ironing, days of darkness, welcome to the light. Now you think you got the answer, cause it's time you fight with cancer. If you know you love Africa,
Africa,
it's time to raise your voice and say,
Africa. Female child, how to save her body.
And you are listening to Bread and Roses. We're playing a conversation Delphine Crescenzo had with Chi Yvonne Lena, activist and noisemaker from Cameroon. The song we just heard, Stop Breast Ironing, is part of Lena's organization, Gender Dangers, campaign to raise awareness about the practice. Lena partnered with Raminas King, a young male musician in the Cameroon, on the song. We're going to continue to play the conversation Delphine had with Chi Yvonne Lena last week. In this final segment, Lena talks about her experience as a journalist working in a very sexist newsroom in Cameroon and shares a very inspiring message with all of us, women and men. So that's coming up next.
You talked a little bit earlier when we started the conversation about the place of women in the media, in the newsroom, etc. And you are a journalist. I was wondering if you can talk about, being a journalist. You shared a little bit about where your motivation to become a journalist is. But what was your experience being a journalist, being in the newsroom, working for a newspaper, being a woman and being, a noisemaker, as you like to say?
Oh my God. My journey in journalism as a woman is one of those aspects of violence against women that I always love to talk about. Because first of all, when I got to the newsroom, there were a lot of things that I used to hear that shocked me a lot. I remember my former boss saying, women are a very important part of the decor of this newsroom, which meant that we were just like a flower vase or flower, an important part of the decor. So what I realized in the newsroom was that nobody was interested in my intellectual capacity. All they were interested in how I looked on air as a TV presenter. And it shocked me a lot because I felt that was not all about me. Me being a woman was just part of my being. I felt I was first of all a journalist before being a woman. That's how, when I'm in the newsroom, I'm first a journalist before a woman. I don't see how it comes to the newsroom, and every time you see how it comes to the newsroom, and every woman are not supposed to be a woman. Women are not supposed to be all the time. Women are sharing reports of women defending. There's so much about women and sensitivity to the negative connection. When I got pregnant, it was as if I had caught HIV. There was commotion all over the place. I had to be put up the news. My reports were of no interest to anybody. I was threatened to be thrown out of my job. It's just a normal part of a woman's life that at one point she has to get pregnant and bear children. The only time when an employer should complain against a woman in newsroom, if she's not doing her job, but if she's doing her job, pregnant or not pregnant, shouldn't be a problem. But that was my story. I mean, there came a time when it was like my boss kind of was causing my colleagues to regard me like someone who's an outcast because I was pregnant. Mm. And we were using my situation to kind of scare other girls from getting pregnant by torturing me, giving me the most difficult kind of reports, going to risky zones, climbing mountains, and gas emissions, all those kind of dangerous reports were the kind of reports I was assigned to. And as God would have it, I was strong. I worked up to the 9 months, and there was never a time when I did not do a report that I was assigned to. And I would work from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day without any break, and I did it. But it kind of made me stronger in my heart and kind of made me feel felt more determined to work hard so that many more women do not go through what I went through.
This was a lot to take in. So the idea was that because you're pregnant, it automatically meant that you had potentially HIV. Is that what you said?
No, I was treated like...
You were treated like someone who...
Yes, like stigmatized. And the reason for which that was going on was because they wanted to scare the other girls from getting pregnant. It is just normal. And at a certain point, we are employing girls who are 25 and over. Mm. At one point in time, it could happen. If it doesn't happen, it's just because everyone has their own plan in their lives. But it is just normal that it happens at one point or the other. And so I wasn't particularly happy. And then what hurt me most was that I wasn't assigned according to my intellectual capacity. I have already said that. Mm. I was always assigned... woman, because she's a woman, because she's pregnant, let's do this to punish her. Yeah. Let's assign her to this report because this report should be done. And then the other girls in the newsroom face the same thing. You're not assigned on a report because you can do the report, but because you are a woman, you should cover soft news and the men should cover the hard news.
But it also seemed that they were trying to overwork you, maybe with the hope that you would just give up.
Yes, yes. But unfortunately, it didn't work.
Yes, because you are the noisemaker. Never giving up. This is, just so much insight. I very often also feel when I turn on the news here in the United States that women are just there to look pretty. And at times either are not really truly informed about the news that they are covering, or just, from the way they're dressed, I think that they're more wanting, be there for eye candy versus to contribute. So definitely, I think that this is a very large issue.
It's very large because women should be given a chance to develop themselves intellectually and not pampered to, because there are some women who don't mind that, but if you look at it in a broader scope, it doesn't help in empowering a woman at all. It doesn't help. I wouldn't be happy to know that all my daughter thinks about herself is how she looks. I wouldn't be happy to know that.
Let's talk about what you do today. So you don't work in a newsroom anymore. Do you feel that you could go back to working in the newsroom in Cameroon?
No, not at all, because that is a box. It's like a prison to me. I would not want to work in a newsroom that has editorial policies that are inclined towards issues that are not of my vision. My vision is to be a voice of the voiceless, especially for women. And I don't know of any newsroom in Cameroon that is prone to women's reporting. And I've made up my mind that the only kind of journalism I'm going to do is to report about issues that plague women in any community in which I find myself, especially from where I come from. My heart is still much in Cameroon. So you see, it's going to be very difficult for someone to put me within that box that I freed myself from, to tell me that if I go out to the field and because the Minister of Commerce is in town, I should rather focus my camera on some men in suits rather than focusing my camera on a woman who has had her baby on the streets. That is going to be like torture to me. I can't do that. If I see a woman having a baby on the street, that is the main news of the day. Fetal mortality to me is more important than some men in suits talking about money and politics and so on. In my opinion, politics is an unending talk, dwindling towards very little solutions. But the voice of the voiceless people, stories concerning the nobodies in society, bringing up their stories and discussing solutions to their problems, is leading to somewhere.
Mm. I think this is so fascinating that that you said that. I have been reflecting myself, trying to get a degree in journalism, being reflecting about what journalism at in the beginning of it, what was it meant to do, and it was always a way to make sure the public's opinion and voices are being heard. And it really feels to me that nowadays what journalists are being asked to cover or are covering, it's definitely more concerning what's happening on, with the richest of the rich, and what's happening with corporations and what's happening with governments, instead of really sharing the voices and the opinions of the people.
Exactly. And that kind of journalism, in my opinion, is a form of entertainment. It takes nobody anywhere. Mm. Journalism that creates change is journalism that reflects the voices of the suffering masses. And I keep saying that any form of journalism that ignores stories about women ignores the greatest stories of our time. Because issues pertaining to women are very, very deep. Mm. And carry lots of solutions if they're looked into and spoken about, and the media actually does the role, its role as agenda setters of society. Mm. They're going to permit room for more conversations and debates to be sparked around women's issues, and veritable solutions are going to be discussed, and there is definitely going to be a change.
Mm. I'm curious as to what inspires you really to be defending the rights of women and girls, to be the noisemaker for the rights of women and girls. Where do you find your inspiration?
I just think that's why I was born. It's purpose. I believe that everyone came to this world to do something particular, and when you discover your purpose, you're unstoppable. And I think for me that is it, because it doesn't matter if I have no salary. I always want to do what I'm doing. It's something that is natural in me. I'm so particular about babies and women, women and children, especially girl children. I love it so much. I love doing any work around that and talking about it, because I've actually seen stories, people's stories change, people's lives change because conversations were ignited and mindsets were shifted. So I feel fulfilled when I do that.
Well, I really like listening to you talk about all that.
Thank you, Daphne. Thank you so much.
I was just wondering if you had any message you want to share with women worldwide.
I just want to tell every woman listening to my voice now that you are a special being, and that it is a privilege to be born a woman. I always say woman is a man that has a womb. We are incubators. We are multipliers. There is no reason why a woman should be in one corner crying or being sad or feeling bad about being a woman or even desiring to be a man. I believe that the reason for which there is so much attack on women, so many in every culture worldwide, there's one thing or the other attacking the woman. It is because of the beauty, the uniqueness of the woman. It is because of that glow, that fragrance of humanity that is attracting the enemy. In the village, in my village, when the plum tree starts bearing plums and the plums are black, there are so many stones that are thrown aimed at that tree because of what? The plums, the fruits look very beautiful. So women are facing a lot. You woman listening to me, the reason for which you are facing a lot of challenges is because you are beautiful. First, you are created from refined stuff. If you go by religion, listen, Dolphin, the woman was created from the rib, not from raw material. We are not created from dust and soil. From the rib, we are created refined, protected, delicate. We are created beautiful, intelligent. We can be in the office and run homes. We can be mothers and managers and presidents and everything. Men can not just be like us. There is so much beauty about being a woman. And I want every woman to be proud of herself. be proud because you can take your mirror and do your makeup, and you can decide to keep the makeup away and dress in slacks and go out with your shoes and walk on the streets. You can go out with your heels. There's so much diversity in being a woman. So woman means beautiful. Woman means wisdom. Woman means power. And I just want to say a happy Women's Day to all the women out there, and that we should be happy every day as being a woman, but that today should be a day that every woman gives herself a good treat.
What do you think is the place of men also in helping women embrace themselves fully?
Without men, the society cannot be complete. The same as without women, the society cannot be complete. Men and women hold equal responsibilities for making the world a better place to men as well as to women. So I always say, as a women's rights advocate, I have no war against men. On the contrary, it is my heart cry that men should be able to sit on the same table as women and remember that every one of us came to this world through a woman. So men should always see the next woman around them like their mother, like their sister, and treat them with that degree of dignity and respect. If men start seeing us as collaborators and not competitors, we'll be going far. And I say the same thing to my fellow women's rights fighters, that if we treat men as enemies, then it is going to make this whole thing more complicated, because of course the men have the power, and we're struggling to have a share of the power. And if we bring war, of course men are very good in war, we know that the war is going to be everlasting. But if we come together with these men and reason as one person, not man or woman, just reason like human beings, that we both deserve the right to be happy, we both deserve the right to be free, we are going to make positive steps ahead. So men are definitely very important actors in the fight for women's empowerment. Very, very important. In fact, indispensable actors.
Thank you so much, Lena.
Thank you, Dolphin.
And you are listening to Bread and Roses. We just finished playing a conversation Delphine Crescenzo had with Chi Yvonne Lena, activist and noisemaker from Cameroon. To read some of Lena's coverage on breast ironing and other issues facing women in Cameroon, visit worldpulse.com. That's worldpulse.com. And type in Lena's name. It's spelled L-E-I-N-A. You can also visit the website for her organization, which is called Gender Danger. The website's name is genderdanger.webs, that's webs.com. Thanks for tuning in to Bread and Roses. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists bringing you feminist news and public affairs programming every Friday at 6. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. But our hearts are hungry too. march to for men, for their women's children. And we're
KBOO Portland. Hard Knock is coming on next, so stay tuned.
From birth till life closes.
Music and mayhem via downtempo, hip-hop, rap, drum and bass, breakbeats, and everything else except the kitchen. The Soundbox focuses on local hip-hop noise, abstract originators, classic hits, respecting the quiet storm, and toasting the original. Your hosts are Dina B and PDX Biologic. Tune in to Soundbox every Saturday from 10 p.m. to midnight here on KBOO Portland.
The story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Oh my God, like Zoe, like Kabu.
Like for sure, like Kiki. Like radio theater.
Like news.
Like bluegrass.
Like reggae.
Like rock.
Like Grateful Dead.
Like that weird stuff. Like, you know, like...
Like those guys that were like screaming.
Totally. Like, and all those like reporters.
Ladies, please. You only have to like Kabu once. On Facebook, go to facebook.com/KABU Radio and click on like. Just the facts, ma'am.
Standing in front of me is my man E. DeRef from the Black Riders for Liberation Party, hanging out with us. And I wanted to talk to you all because in recent days, there's been a lot of disturbing things that have been directed towards you. And we wanted to make sure that your organization, who many of us feel are doing good work in the community, uplifting the people, trying to raise consciousness, and more importantly, trying to protect people, from police and what have you, wanted to make sure that you all were able to kind of clarify some things. So first of all, welcome to the show again, and how you been doing?
I'm doing blessed, sir. Power to the people. How you doing, brother?
Good. Let's talk about some of the recent attacks that have been coming down on the Black Riders.
Yes, sir. Well, first off, I would like to say that once Huey P. Newton taught us this from Mao Zedong, that once the enemy lashes out blindly amongst the people and amongst the party, it shows how effective they are. You know, it shows that they're becoming very frantic and weak. We're in a position right now of where we're being attacked from the mainstream media and attacked by the pigs, the occupying army within our community. In different instances, in different times, in different situations.
How did you all get on the radar of the mainstream media? I mean, they seem to practically want to ignore everything that folks have been doing. When you all been doing free breakfasts, when you all been doing screenings, when you all been doing your own press, or you all been training people, they've been nowhere around.
Well, there's this special interest group called the Southern Poverty Law Center. They've basically an organization that monitors quote-unquote hate groups and provides intel and information to the FBI and Homeland Security for the fear of the uprising. They want to maintain the status quo. The thing about it is they have deemed us and put us in the category as a black separatist hate group. Now, everybody who knows our philosophy and knows our theory of revolutionary African intercommunalism, that's far from the truth. Intercommunalism is the same as internationalism, but having more tight belief that you can't develop nationalism until you develop a strong community ties. Nationalism meaning to have control of your, have sovereignty over and control of your economic, your military, and your political. You have to have sovereignty over those circuits. And basically, you can't be considered a nation unless you have the control of those three different things. Basically, we believe that, you know, we could launch an international class struggle within our community because the fascist American system is an imperialist system. And since we have people from all over the world who are prisoners from of imperialism, We can hit international buttons from within the belly of the beast right here. It's hard to be considered a separatist group when you push internationalism. That's a big contradiction. We believe that as long as one person is oppressed on the planet, then everybody is oppressed on the planet. However, we believe that black people need self-determination and full community, full control of the community and the institutions like the schools, the courts, the businesses, and so on. Self-determination puts people under the category of black separatists. It still wouldn't tie up to the whole internationalist perspective. That's the big contradiction. It doesn't make any sense.
That's pretty similar to where the Panthers were, if I'm correct, in terms of it wasn't so much just because of the color of your skin, because, I mean, gosh, Clarence Thomas is black and could probably do more damage than a whole lot of folks.
Yes, sir.
But it always seemed like it was about your politics and your philosophy and aligning yourselves with that. But I bring that up to say that in the past, what we've noticed is that there's always been this false equation between the white supremacist groups that the Southern Poverty Law Center also says they monitor, and they'll put them on that list. But then they go to militant black groups and put them on there and say that the work that groups like yourselves would be doing is the same as neo-Nazism and the Ku Klux Klan. It doesn't make sense, and it seems like the bottom line, and this is historic, it's not just with you guys. I mean, you see that with all sorts of groups that wind up on those